am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs are back in action tonight as they visit the Dallas Mavericks, and which should be a great contest and another road test for your Spurs, an area where the Spurs have struggled this season. And also on the show, we're going to be talking about whether or not the Spurs have turned the corner. They won five straight. Is this something good? Is this something bad? Is this something maybe you know, we should take a little bit with a grain of salt? We're going to talk about that and a lot more. And I'm joined by my good friend over at ESPN San Antonio, co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover, James Pledger. James, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
I always love joining you, Jeff.
Yeah, let's talk some Spurs. So the Silver and Black are back in action tonight. They'll be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. As I mentioned a little earlier, James, the Spurs are on a five-game winning streak. Most of those games come at home, one road win over the Hawks. But Dallas and San Antonio, despite their records, has always been a hotly contested game. Did you know this? 10 of the last 11 games, James, between the Spurs and Mavs have been decided by 7 points or less. It doesn't matter what era it is. The good old peak of the rivalry till now, San Antonio and Dallas always seem to bring out the best of them. When you look at tonight's contest, what comes to your mind right away?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's a baller. I mean, you saw him ball out against the Rockets, and I know they barely got a win over them not too long ago. I mean, Luka just feels like
the next
big superstar in the NBA. He's the next Dirk for the Dallas Mavericks. And think about it. This team's going to be adding a Kristaps Porzingis next year. I mean, it's scary to think the Mavs could actually be really good here really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, when you look at the records, San Antonio's 38-29, Dallas is 27-29, but don't let that record by Dallas fool you. This team can be scrappy. They can be tough. I mean, they took the Rockets down to the final second before a Chris Paul block.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation, when I look at the San Antonio-Dallas Mavericks tonight, obviously it begins and ends with Luka. As of this recording, he is questionable to play, but if he does not go, James, I mean, the Spurs should get this win, right?
You would hope so, but this has been a very odd Spurs season. So if no Luka, would you be shocked if the Spurs lost on the road to the Dallas Mavericks?
I know. No, I probably wouldn't at all, considering the fact that they lost to the Knicks. They lost to the Nets. Okay, fine. Maybe the Nets are not the old Nets. But still, they were without Spencer Dinwiddie. They blew a lead over Chicago in San Antonio and then barely got by Memphis in Memphis during the road-to-road trip. Yeah, the road.
And even Atlanta was closer than you would have liked.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for Derek White's heroics in the final frame, you know, the Spurs probably would have left Atlanta with an L. But, you know, I would not be surprised if the Spurs did lose one on the road to Dallas. Look, if Luka does play, this is – insane. This is what Lucas has done to the Spurs this season. Two games, 28 points per game, 8 rebounds, a team best 6 assists versus San Antonio, 1 steal in 38 minutes. This kid is just wrecking the NBA. It doesn't matter if it's the Spurs, it could be any NBA team. He is a handful. Does that
ball
just
is ball, man.
Exactly. But does that simply just go to the fact that, you know, maybe at that time, the first two games, Derek White wasn't the defensive Derek White we know. Should Luka play, that matchup has to be the key going into tonight's contest, White versus Luka, or do you think it'll be something else?
I'm not sure White would be on Luka. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
But you look at Luka's size and his ability around the perimeter or even down low. You look at it, and would it be Derek White guarding him, or would you try and go a little bit bigger with maybe a Rudy Gay?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it all depends kind of what Greg Popovich wants to do out there on the perimeter. But I look at the Spurs as they take on the Mavs tonight, Dallas, and this is kind of a game I'm earmarking. There are a couple going forward. Most of them are on the road because they've looked great. I mean, they've got wins against the Bucks, who have the best record in the NBA, the Thunder, who are the 3 seed in the West, and the Nuggets, who are the 2 seed in the West, all right one after the other almost. And you're like, wow, have they turned the corner? And then you get this game against the Mavericks, and we're like, I don't know. Have they?
Yeah.
Because you start to wonder, can it sustain on the road? Because that's been the question with this team all year. They're 12-22 away from the AT&T Center, and even their win over the Hawks, if not, you said it, if not for some Derek White heroics late, may be walking out of there with an L as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see, like, these road games coming up have a little bit more importance on them, mm-hmm. just because we wonder if they have truly turned the corner, because they are playing so much better coming off of that rodeo road trip, finally get back in the AT&T Center and finally start to get some things going. If they start to roll off a couple of wins on the road, that could be a possibility.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the Spurs, they need to prove they can win away from San Antonio. They're going to have to. If they make the playoffs, they're going to be on the road to start that series, whoever that team may be. That means two games away from SA. And if any road, you know, indications show in the regular season, then quite possibly the Spurs could be coming back from that opening round series down 0-2. It's something that Spurs cannot afford to do.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting to see as we move down the stretch to see if they can correct these issues, or if it's just an issue that they can kind of flip the switch on.
Yeah.
It seems like it's not possible to just kind of flip the switch when you're talking about a team that really – you used to talk about it when you talked about the old Spurs.
Yeah, right.
But Manu, Tony, Tim, you know, these guys have been through – the fires before, and you mm-hmm. expected them to be able to flip a switch.
Right.
I mean, the guys left on this team that are tenured are like Patty and LaMarcus.
I mean, who else? Yeah, Bryn, maybe?
I mean, it kind of stops there, right? I mean, you can throw Rudy Gay in there, who's been there for a couple of years now, maybe. Marco's in his second stint with the team, but outside of that, you're not looking at a lot of guys with a lot of tenure, and even then, not tenure where it's like flipping a switch to get into playoff mode, because a lot of these players don't have championship experience.
Yeah, they really, really don't. But as far as tonight's contest, you know, look, the Spurs have a little history on their side. The Mavs have lost three straight in a row to San Antonio, so that's good. And speaking of those 10 of the last 11 meetings that have been decided by 7 points or less, San Antonio is 9-2 in those meetings, so there's that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's certain things you want to look out for, especially on the road. If I'm fans that are tuning in tonight, I'm looking at that halftime score. If the Spurs are down on the road at halftime, they're 3-18, James. That's they got to watch out for that halftime score, James.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that this Spurs team, the trends that you look at going forward, and you're like, wow, I mean, that's not a great trend. But then you start to see how they have played coming out of the rodeo road trip, mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't know, maybe they could have turned things around. This next week's going to be a really good indicator about where they are in terms of how they've turned the corner.
Yeah, well, the Spurs and Mavs will meet again tonight in Big D. Well, hopefully the Spurs will come out of that game with the W, continue their winning streak up to 6. James and I are going to take our first break, but before we let you go, this is the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or more than that, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Now, Zion Williamson, I just used to calling him Zion. That's it. I don't know. You forget he has a last name, James. Zion
He's
Williamson.
Like Madonna or shit.
Yeah, exactly. And his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title. Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed this year? Well, can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? There's so much to be looking forward to as March Madness appears. Now, if you know the answers, and if you don't, MyBookie is the best place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is they pay out as fast as when you win. It takes just 48 hours. Simple as that. Bet with the best. They kick back and enjoy March Madness while you can, and watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDONNBA. for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. With my bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Yeah, James, I forget Zion has a last name. You're just calling him Zion, and you think, like, the, just the name itself just evokes power. Zion. Yeah. All right, so James and I were back from my job as having to read that script for the Locked On NBA Network. But all kidding aside, no, my bookie is a great place to go to if you want to bet on the upcoming March Madness bracket. We'll see how you do. I know James is you're a whiz at that March Madness bracket, aren't you?
I love it, man. Every year it's so much fun to kind of look at these teams, a lot of which that you've got little experience with, like maybe it's the Gales who just took out Monmouth to punch their ticket. But then you try and find the upsets, but more than likely you're trying to find that one team with the great guard play that's going to make noise in the tournament.
Yeah, well, with my bookie, you'll be able to do that and more and win some cash if you pick it right. All right, so James and I, we are back, and we're going to start the second segment of Locked On Spurs with a big question that everybody's been talking about, at least in Spurs fandom, and that is, has this team turned the corner? James, five games in a row straight with the W's there. They're getting them defensively. They're beating some of the upper teams, Thunder, Bucks. They want on the road at least one time during this road trip. So what do you think? You think this team has turned the corner?
We'll know a lot more this coming week with the Spurs. I think they're turning the corner. Can I say it like that?
That's perfectly fine, yeah.
But I think this team is actually going to give us a better idea of who they are as we come down through this next week of the season. As you look at, you know, what they have coming, they're in Dallas, and then you know, fast forward a week after another long homestand, Houston, Boston, Charlotte, row, back to back to back, 22nd, 24th, 26th.
Right.
That's going to be key right there. That little three-game mini road trip, I think. And then you close out towards the end of the season on the road, Denver, Washington, Cleveland. But they have a lot of home games, which is beneficial to the Spurs when you're trying to make up places in the Western Conference. But these road games that are sprinkled in here, especially this little, these two little three-game road trips at the end of the year, I think those are going to be huge indicators onto whether the Spurs had turned the corner or not, because this team we know plays well at home.
Yep.
And winning eight straight and five in a row, mixing one road win in there against a bad Atlanta team, like, okay.
Yep.
But I want to see it not even sustained, because you can lose on the road and it's different. I want to see them play well on the road, and we'll see that here coming up towards the end of the month and the beginning of April when they have these two little mini three-game road trips. We'll figure out a little bit more tonight in Dallas, whether Luka plays or not, just how they look.
But
in total, will give us a better idea of who they are. But for me, when it comes to the Spurs, with what you've shown me this year, I'm not going to say you've turned the corner. You're turning the corner, but you need to prove it by getting at least some road wins while you're out.
Well, you're not the only one to think that way. Coach Pop agrees with you. He was asked that after the recent win over the Bucks, if his team has turned the corner. He, in a nutshell, just said pretty much no, that there's still much to learn, that this team still needs to do a lot more on the court. And I think winning on the road is one of them. Now, obviously, defense has picked up tremendously, you know, a large part to Derek White. But, you know, in this five-game winning streak, they're averaging 6.4 blocks, 5.8 steals. They got a plus-minus, a plus 8.2. And as mentioned, they're beating some of the better teams in the NBA, but again, at home. Is it safe to say that, I mean, I don't know, because there's still a handful of games here, James, but if these last remaining road games prove that the Spurs simply struggle away from San Antonio, I mean, I don't know if I can say they ever have turned the corner, because they can't get it done completely, James.
Because then they just are who they've been all year long.
Exactly, yeah. But when you look at this five-game winning streak, What do you credit it? Is it credit to the defense? Is it credit to the emergence of Derek White? Is it simply that maybe the team is finally getting on the same page? What do you think is the reason why they finally clicked, at least in the last five?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. There's your answer.
Yes, it is. They are playing better defensively. That's obvious to see. They are getting extra production out of Derek White, who seems to have taken another step in his development, even more so this year than even just before the injury, before the rodeo road trip, when we were still gushing over Derek White.
Yeah.
So he's taken yet another step since coming back from that injury over the rodeo road trip, and has solidified himself as probably this team's best defender right now.
Right.
And yes, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is a huge part of what they're doing as well, because he has been a monster both offensively and on the boards, because when they would lose games, we would see him either A, have a very bad offensive performance, or we'd see him just get thrashed on the boards.
Well,
and they've been able to kind of put all these things together, because let's face it, what the Spurs are this year is a amalgamation of a whole bunch of different character flaws. They've had injuries, they've been bad on defense, they don't play well away from the AT&T Center. There are multiple things that have led to what this Spurs season has initially been. And we're starting to see, it looks like at least some of those things corrected just a little bit. But also, you have to remember, we had that stretch of 8-9 games where we held teams under 100 points, where we thought, oh, this is it. Yep. They flipped the switch on defense. And that proved to not be true either. So we need to temper expectations right now to kind of let things see how they play out down the road when they hit a couple of road games in a row.
You took the words right out of my mouth. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We've seen the Spurs rattle off four games in a row and think everything was roses and rainbows.
Everything's hunky-dory again, baby.
And then all of a sudden, boom, road trip, four-game skid, up and down, the blowing leads. Even when they were winning the previous four-game winning streak, right before the rodeo road trip, they were not playing well at all. They were lucky to get four in a row, in my opinion. They were at home. They were clinging on to 20-plus point leads, only to see it evaporate. And then we saw that come to fruition on the rodeo road trip, where they got absolutely decimated, 1-7. Not a good look. I think when you look back at the season, however it ends, if it ends prematurely, or perhaps they don't get that higher seed to avoid the Warriors or something, I might circle back that rodeo road trip and say this is where it came apart for the Spurs, because these games, there were a few of them in here they should have won and they didn't win, and that's why they're 8 seed, or maybe that's why they got bounced out early, or maybe that's why they can improve their road medal because of how they performed away from San Antonio. But I agree with you. I think I'm taking a cautious approach in this 5-game winning streak. I think that's the best thing you can do right now at this juncture of the Spurs season. And I don't blame fans if they think, like, you know what, okay, fine, that's great, yay Spurs, but show me more. And I think that's okay for fans to think that way, to say, show me more. Show me what this team can do.
Now, you say, you look at that rodeo road trip as kind of the turning point of the season or whatever, in which may or may not what happens in the playoffs. It also could be the turning point in the season of where everything came together.
Right.
Because they immediately started playing well after getting their butts handed to them in New Jersey, and maybe that's what Pop needed, a 1-7 road trip and a total thrashing at the hands of the Nets, and then falling to the Knicks, ending their 18 or 16 game home losing streak that they had, to point at it and go, look guys, this is exactly what I'm talking about, and if we don't fix this, we're doomed. We may not make the playoffs. We're definitely not going to make any noise in the playoffs. But this is what has to happen. And maybe that was what Pop needed for the team to buy in. I'm not sure, but it could be a turning point either way for the Spurs.
Well, hopefully it's a turning point in the right direction, and the Spurs make a great showing in the stretch run of their regular season. So James and I are going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by James Pleasure, the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover. You can find at ESPN San Antonio, 1250 AM, and pretty much everywhere, any platform that fans can tune in, right from the internet, even the archive, because you put it up there, don't you?
Yeah, I get it up as quick as I can post showtime, so if you missed anything or want to go back and listen, they're all there in the audio vault at ESPNSA.com, and usually after the fact, we tweet it out at I Am Pleasure and Facebook it out on the ESPNSA Facebook post. So, I mean, every medium that we can, we just try and push it out. So,
yeah, and how dare your co-host RJ Ochoa get married? How dare he leave you behind?
What's up with that?
Leave you hanging. Leave you hanging there. No, congratulations to your co-host. you know, a big milestone in his life. But hey, that's not the only thing you do. You also cover the Commanders. That other team in the San Antonio that's been away for too long. I need them back, James. They need to come back to the Alamo Dome. They got one more
road trip, baby.
Yeah, I know. This is like their rodeo road trip. They think they got one more game away from San Antonio, and then they come back, correct?
Atlanta this Sunday at 4 o'clock. Yeah, they've got one more road trip, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. And then they're finally back home on the 23rd to take on Salt Lake. They are currently tied for first in the West standings with the San Diego Fleet, who they split with this year at 3-2. So they got a big win in Arizona, had a hot start against the Hot Shots. Arizona made it a game late, but Logan Woodside went wire to wire, had probably his best game, 21-27 for 290 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, it was a good performance all around. They forced 5 turnovers in the game. One of them was a pick six. Safety Darren Smith had 2 picks in the game. So the defense is really firing right now. They've forced 5 fumbles last week, recovered 1, had a couple of picks. I mean, they've had 8 turnovers in the last 2 games.
That's insane. And here's the thing, though. Can they play? Can all AAF games be played in San Antonio? Because seriously, fans show out. I mean, I think San Antonio still leads in attendance, even though they've been away for 4 games, James.
Well, that's what happens when you get nearly 30,000 per both your first 2 home games, to where you're sitting at 60,000 total combined fans almost after 2 weeks, and then the rest of the league's just having to play catch up when they're announcing crowds of anywhere from 6 to 10,000. So they've got a nice little fan base here, and they've let us know each and every week at practice, at the games, like, man, that crowd's at home so great. Can't wait to get back to it. Man, the fans in San Antonio are the best. Like, they, at every turn, they let us know how great the fan base is here in San Antonio.
Yeah, and those that are listening in right now, we want to listen to James and RJ talk about the Commanders pre- and post-game. How can they do that, James?
Oh, you can listen right here on ESPN San Antonio, 1250 AM, 94.5 FM. And, of course, the games are all broadcast online as well at ESPNSA.com. And, once again, I podcast those after the game goes out, too. So it is everywhere that you want to look for it.
I think you upped your Saiyan level to 3 now. I think you're at Super Saiyan 3 with all the duties you have to do at ESPN San Antonio. So
I'm working real hard to try and get to God level.
Oh, whew,
maybe
God
not
level?
Like Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, but like just Super Saiyan God.
Just God. You know, yeah. Is that like, not that that's like awesome enough already, but nevertheless.
I always like the leaner look of the God level anyway.
Yeah, what's his face? Beerus even comment on that, or was it Whis that when he turned into God, he was like, he's a little thinner, or somebody commented on that.
I think it was Vegeta. Or Gohan that commented on it, but yeah, he was a lot leaner when he went Super Saiyan God.
Yeah, I know. I think even he noticed it too. He looked himself like, oh, what the hell just happened to me? But before James and I get the show off the rails and start nerding it up, Spurs, which I'm pretty sure James is okay with. The Spurs and Mavericks, as mentioned, play tonight. What's your prediction? How do you see it ending?
Spurs Mavericks, I see the Spurs going and getting a win. I want to see Luka play. I want to see the Spurs play them at full strength. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see the Spurs get a convincing win. Like, it may be close down the stretch, but to end up pulling out like a 114-107, like kind of like they did against Milwaukee, like just a nice, easy, not easy, but a nice, just statement level win.
Yeah.
To where it's like, all right, this team can go on the road and get a win when a team is playing at full strength or whatever it may be. And then you can start having that corner turn discussion a little bit louder. Like, all right, well, the Mavs aren't great, but they're good. They're a decent team. And you went into Dallas and you got a win. And that's impressive, because with this Spurs team, it's about the baby steps.
Yep.
You know, it's one step at a time. First, you wanted to see what this team was going to look like with DeMar. Then they were giving up points left and right. So you're like, oh, I'd like to see them play a little bit of defense. Then it's like, oh, man, they're getting killed on the rodeo road trip. Can we just get home and win a couple of games? and they did that.
Yeah.
Now you're like, can I start to see them translate what they're doing on the road? Like, this Spurs team is all about taking steps forward in a positive direction.
Yeah.
And they're starting to do that at each turn. This is the next step in that turn. Now, it doesn't matter the opponent and what their record is, that will come. But first you have to build confidence by winning on the road. Then you can start worrying about the opponent you're playing on the road.
Yeah, well, the Spurs definitely have their hands full tonight, with or without Luka, and simply just because they're on the road. I think when they win on the road, I do insert shock GIF. You know, so I'm like, what? Like that Travolta famous GIF where he's just in the middle of the room, kind of looking both sides, like, huh? What? I think that would be my reaction tonight if they win. But nevertheless, I think the Spurs will win tonight. I think it'll be a close game, especially if Luka plays. As I mentioned, the numbers, you know, historically these two teams battle it out to the bitter end. The Spurs are riding a nice wave right now of positivity. Patty Mills said the team is confident right now, confident after beating Milwaukee the way they did. So I think that'll carry over into Big Dallas tonight, and the Spurs walk away with a W. But we want to hear what you think. How do you see tonight's Spurs-Mavs games going down? And what do you think? You think the Spurs turn the corner, or are you just cautiously optimistic? You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. And now James is going to tell you everything about how to get a hold of him and how to listen to him online or on the radio if you're in San Antonio.
You can always listen 1250 AM, 94.5 FM, online at ESPNSA.com. We will have things out, whether it's in the audio vault, post-haste, and also on Twitter, at I Am Fletcher.
There you go. Give him a follow. He's a great follow, from Spurs to Commanders and everything else in between. And Mr. Pledger has it all there for you on his Twitter. So for James Pledger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.